Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And what does that mean? Think about it for a minute. How much confusion is there in the world concerning religion, and concerning Christianity, and concerning Jesus Christ, who he was, what he did, why did he have to die? Well, we're looking at the problems with the Shroud of Turin, which people say was the burial cloth of Jesus Christ. But does that square with the scriptures? One clue. Nowhere in the Bible does it say or contain the word shroud. So keep that in mind. Things are quite different when you get into the scriptures. And why would people want to believe things like that or rely on something like the Shroud of Turin? Especially when you consider that the Bible is the Word of God and traditions are the teachings of men.
It's an incredible, incredible experience. I would recommend it to anyone. If your heart tells you you're interested, please go. You'll walk away a changed person. Absolutely incredible. Makes Amen. Me want to cry.
Amen. It was the holiest thing in my life I've ever experienced. The holiest thing I've ever experienced. And I can't even describe. I felt God in there, I felt Jesus, and I thought I studied the Shroud all these years from the 80s when I first talked about it. I thought I read it all. This was incredibly eye-opening. I'm so grateful to have this experience. I'll never forget it.
It was quite the experience. I'm so glad my sisters and I came. It's a blessing, a blessing.
Thank you.
Thank you, yes.
Thank you very much for pulling this together offering it for us.
Thank you so much.
It's an incredible, incredible experience. It ranks number one in my whole entire life, my whole 66 years. It's my number one experience.
Mine too.
Thank you very much.
And so let's look at the truth of God contained in scriptures. And first of all, let's look at what happened to Jesus with the crucifixion, so we can understand the condition of his body when it was buried. So let's begin in Isaiah 53, verse 1. Now, some of this I've already covered, but it's good that we review it so we know exactly how his body was and the condition when it was buried. Now, we have covered some of it in a previous segment, but we're going to add more to it in this segment. Verse 1, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness that we should look upon him, nor beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Verse 4, surely he's borne our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And that's what they said when the observers were standing at the cross and the religious leaders and other haters of Christ were standing. However, verse 5, because few people really understand, which we'll answer in another segment, who Jesus really was. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we ourselves are healed. Verse 6, All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned each one to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, why would God do that? Now, this means the iniquity and sin of all human beings through all ages. Why did he take that upon himself? Or why did God the Father lay it upon him and he willingly took it? We'll answer that in a bit. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Slaughter. Not just a little pierce in the side and not just a thorn, a crown on his head with his hands pierced and his feet pierced, but his whole body. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and with his generation, who did consider that he was cut off out of the land of the living? For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in death, although he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet the Lord willed to crush him. Now, when you see an idol of Jesus on a cross, does he look crushed? Does he look disfigured? No. Nor when you look at the image that is on the Shroud of Turin. Verse 10, yet the Lord willed to crush him and put him to grief. Why? Well, that was all a part of the plan of God. And that's all a part of why Jesus is the Passover Lamb of God for the sin of the world. You shall make his life an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and that is through the power of the resurrection from the dead, that the purpose of the Lord might prosper in his hand. Now, how is that going to fit into the plan of God? Well, that's the beginning of the answer to how do you solve the problem of human sin? And how can human beings be right with God? Let's continue. He shall see the travail of his soul. He shall be fully satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Now we have three verses. The iniquities of us all, the transgressions of his people, and again, their transgressions. All of these have to do with what was the condition of Jesus' body when he was buried. Verse 12. Therefore I will divide to him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was counted among transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. Now, he had to do this in order to become our Savior and High Priest. Now, let's look at what happened to his body. Isaiah 52, just across the page, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall rule well. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Now that's a prophecy of after his resurrection. Now verse 14, many were astonished at him, for his body was so disfigured. I want you to keep that in mind when we again see the image on the shroud. Ask yourself the question, is it disfigured? even his form beyond that of the sons of men. Quite a thing to happen, right? Let's see what else he did willingly. Chapter 50, verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to those who pluck off the hair, tearing off his beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Now, all of this tells us about how the body of Christ would look when he was buried. Now, let's come to Psalm 22, and then we will look at how they buried Jesus. Psalm 22. Now, if you get our book, Harmony of the Gospels, you'll find all of this laid out step by step, or the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. Now, Psalm 22. Here's how he felt on the cross. Verse 14. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. He was beaten so much that everything was affected in his body. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. Dogs have surrounded me. Now that's all of the demons and Satan, the devil, just circling in the air around the cross while he was dying. They have pierced my hands and my feet, and you have brought me into the dust of death. I can count all my bones. They look and gloat over me. Quite a thing. Count all his bones. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that when he was scourged, that it tore his flesh and came around from his back and ripped off the sides and part of the front of his chest so he could see his bone. Now, you don't see that on the shroud. Now then, let's come back to John 11, and then we'll look at how they buried Jesus. In John chapter 11, this is the account about Lazarus, who died and was buried. John 11, verse 44, and he who had been dead came forth, his feet and hands bound with grave clothes, plural. Doesn't say shroud. Very important. And his face bound up with a napkin, like kind of a sweat towel. Okay? And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Now, if he were in the tomb and there was a shroud, now a shroud is twice the length of the body of the individual. And the shroud is laid down, then the body placed on the shroud, and then the top of the shroud put over the top. So if Lazarus had been buried with a shroud, then all he would have to do is flop it back and get up and walk out. But how did the Jews actually bury their dead? They didn't bury them in shrouds.
Now this is the type of first century burial site that you would see for a whole family of people. Here we are inside the tomb. Obviously, in the first century, this would have been completely covered over. And the women coming in to finish preparing the body would be carrying oil lamps, then would be put in the niches in the sides of the tomb. When the bodies are prepared, they're simply washed, and sometimes an oil is put on them that's fragrant. But more oil is put on the winding cloths. And there are two cloths, one that would go from the shoulders to the knees, wrapping around the body, and the other that would go from the neck up to the top of the head, and wound around. On these cloths, special herbs were put on. Again, this is not to preserve the body, because the idea is dust to dust. It is to help the odor inside the burial place in the event that someone else would die in a period of time, less than a year, and they would have to enter into the burial place to take that body and set it to rest. The other indication that this is the appropriate way of burial is in the Gospels also. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." And then the very next thing they said was, "Cut him loose." And if you will notice, how could poor Lazarus have moved when his arms were bound and his legs were bound? He had to be cut free in order to move among the living again. I think from that scripture, oftentimes we think of perhaps the Shroud of Turin, which is one long sheet wrapped around a body. But that was not the custom in Jesus' time.
So let's see about the body of Jesus. And then look at the image of the shroud again. Especially since we have seen a simulation of 40 lashes with the scourge on his back. There was virtually nothing left of flesh and skin on his back. So you look at that again. You look at the design of the stripes on the back of the image of the shroud, and they're definitely not a scourging of tearing and ripping the flesh. So Jesus' body had to be more disfigured than any human being, which means there was probably not very much left on his back in the way of flesh. It was probably mostly bone and sinew, and that would be the most painful thing to go through. Now, let's come to Matthew 27. Now, this is on the Passover day that Jesus died, and he died in the middle of the week. Not on a Friday, on a Wednesday. And as I mentioned last time, you cannot get 3 days and three nights from Friday at sunset to Sunday at sunrise. There's even one commentator who is so out of touch, he said that the 3 hours of darkness when Jesus was on the cross could be counted as a night, because it was dark. However, one big flaw in that thinking: Jesus was on the cross, not in the tomb. He said he would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, exactly as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the great fish. So, he died at the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock our time. And evening was coming on, so let's come, Matthew 27, verse 57. And when evening was coming on, a rich man of Arimathea came, named Joseph, who himself was a disciple of Jesus. And after going to Pilate, he begged to have the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be given over to him. And after taking the body, Joseph wrapped it. That's very important because even the King James has the word wrapped. And the Greek there is entuliso, which means to wrap up or wrap up in, to enwrap, roll up, or fold together. So how did they do that? Well, we'll see in a minute when we get over here to another parallel account that he also had Nicodemus there to help him. wrapped it in clean linen cloth, not a shroud. Now, there is no evidence on the shroud that after whatever body was put there, that it was wrapped. Because, you see, the Jews used linen that was about 6 to 9 inches wide from rolls, and they would wrap the body, beginning with the feet and go forward. All right? Now come over to Mark 15 and verse 46. Now he had bought fine linen cloth, and after taking him down, he wrapped him in the linen cloth. So that's not laying him on a shroud and taking the other half and pulling over the top of him. Because that's how the image was. Now, there are other problems we'll address here in just a minute. Now, let's come to Luke 23. Now, it's interesting because the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. So there are three written witnesses of exactly what happened to Jesus. Luke 23, verse 52, and he, that is Joseph, after going to Pilate, begged for the body of Jesus, and after taking it down, he wrapped it in linen cloth and placed it in a tomb, hewn in stone, in which no one had ever been laid. Now let's come to the final parallel account in John, the 19th chapter. So let's start in verse 38. Now after these things, Joseph, the one from Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but having concealed it for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take Jesus' body away, and Pilate gave him permission. Then he came and took away the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who had come to Jesus by night at first, also came bearing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds, like a big sack of wheat. Now then, it is said with the shroud that there are flowers around the edge of the body. I can tell you right now, and you ought to know, myrrh and aloes are not flowers. They are aromatics, and they're also there to keep down the stench of a decomposing body. Now, verse 40. Then they took Jesus' body and wound it in linen cloths. Now, the Greek word here for wound is dio, which means to bind it, not cover it with a shroud. Now, also what they did, they mixed in the aromatics, as is the custom among the Jews, to prepare the burial. And they buried him right there. Okay? Now, let's consider again the body of Jesus. With the scourging and the hitting and everything that took place. Let's start with the crown of thorns. That was the first wound, so there could not have been a trickle of blood as shown on the shroud. And it doesn't say that he still had the crown of thorns on his head when he was crucified. Let's take the next one. He gave his face to those who were spitting and hitting and tearing the beard. There is no evidence of tearing a beard on the one who is the image on the shroud. We are also told in other scriptures that he did not see corruption. But the one who is on the shroud, it has definitely been concluded that he had already been dead and rigor mortis had set in because his legs were bent at an angle up at the knees and his head was lifted up. So they couldn't get an accurate measurement for him, so they said he's between 5'9" and 6 feet. Now, 6 feet is really tall for Jews in that time of history. So it couldn't have been Jesus. Now let's come to chapter 20 and let's see the resurrection and let's see what Jesus did when he was resurrected from the dead. Now, after Mary Magdalene came down there and found out that the grave was open and an angel told her that Jesus wasn't there, she ran back and told Peter and the other apostles that they've taken away the body of the Lord, because she didn't go in and look. She came back later and went in to look, but she ran right back and told them immediately. John 20, verse 3. As a result, Peter and the other disciple, and that's John, went out and came to the tomb. Now the two ran together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooped down, looked in, and saw the linen cloths lying there. Now, a little later, it talks about that there were two angels there, one at the head where Jesus had been, and one at the feet where Jesus had been. Now, how do you know where the head and feet have been unless the burial cloths that he was wrapped in were still there wrapped, but minus the body? You don't find anything like that with the shroud. Then Peter came, and he went and saw the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying, and a napkin that had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Now, pray tell, when does a towel ever fold up itself and go put itself in another place? So what do these things prove? Jesus was raised from the dead. And as a spirit being, he didn't need to have the grave clothes cut off of him. His body just went right through it. Now then, this also shows that the disciples could not have stolen the body and that no one else took it away because they would have taken him with the napkin and with the body still all wrapped up. So the shroud is a complete, absolute hoax put out by those who believe in a fake Jesus, a false Christianity, and do not know the scriptures. Now, that's all important for us to know. Now then, if you want the book, Harmony of the Gospels, we'll send it to you. That takes the whole life of Jesus Christ from birth to death to resurrection. And we have the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, and a booklet, Why is Christianity Failing in America? And we'll send those to you all at no cost. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, be sure and go to our other website, truthofgod.org. Until next time, so long, everyone.